Exactly. Hello, everyone. Welcome to my podcast. And what I would love to say is thank you so much, Jeff, that you are here with me today. And we are going to spend some time together. I don't know if you've got it's going to be 30 minutes, 45 minutes, how long, but it will be beautiful time because I really appreciate that. I know you're very busy, and I love that you are now here for lunch for a lunch break with me. So if you can tell probably audience about you, because I know a lot, but I don't want to talk for you. And I met you in the LA Tribune podcast network. That's where we basically came together. And I had, sorry, I will need to stop this because I really don't like this.
That's right. Yeah.
I don't know why this is jumping and I can't cancel it.
There's a setting you're going to go into actually Zoom to fix it up.
Yeah, I tried and nothing worked. Okay, so again.
That's
So,
right. Reset.
yeah. So we met in LA Tribune podcast network, and it was really nice to see what work you do and how much work you do in background. And I know you have a lot of experience from different levels of business. And also, you call yourself lifestyle dad, laptop lifestyle dad. So I would love to hear more about that. And thank you so much. So let's dive in. So what is that what you do, and what is the background story? Like, where did it all started?
Yeah, great question. Part of what I'm actually teaching in our academy now is how to do the voice framework. And I can talk about that later, but the O stands for origin story. And we all have, an origin story. We all come from somewhere. A really great book that I refer to all marketers read is Hero's Journey by Joseph Campbell.
Love
And
it.
thank you very much for giving me the opportunity. So let's go back. 2010, well, actually 2008, I had a horse jump on my neck. I used to work on horse studs, and I was the stallion manager. So it was my job to help the stallions do what they need to do to get the mares in foal. And so we had this mare who was a bit flighty and a bit explosive, and she didn't want to, have the job done. And she jumped basically in the breeding sheds. She reared up, she struck me down on my chest, and then she jumped on my neck. And very grateful to that I was wearing a helmet, because if I wasn't wearing that helmet, I wouldn't be telling this story. The helmet had 10 cracks in it, but the end result of that injury was I had three crushed discs in the back of my neck now. C3, 4, and 5 are crushed, 6 and 7 are bulging. And so 2 years into after that injury, I met Sarah, my beautiful wife now, and we met each other, and I started to suffer from chronic pain, and started to get nerve pain. Anyway, after going back and forth about 18 months with the doctors and stuff, the doctors pretty much wrote me off, and they said, "Look, there's not much we can do for you. Sorry, you're going to have to live the rest of your life in pain, and we're going to diagnose you with chronic pain syndrome, and we're going to put you on a disability pension."
Oh wow. Yeah,
Okay.
this is something that's not solved definitely in medical world, because I know a lot of people with chronic pain and it's just no fun. So I'm so sorry to hear that, Jeff. That's
No, it's,
exciting.
look, I'm pain free to a point now,
Awesome.
due to a lot of mindfulness activities and a lot of holistic sort of health healing in that space and whatnot, and a lot of meditation and prayer. I have my bad days, I have my good days, just like everybody does. But
Yeah.
maybe pain these days is, back then it was debilitating. And so I'm newly married. We've got our first child on the way, and I'm thinking, oh crap. How am I going to provide for this family that I've just started? I had all my plans mapped out. I was going to work hard and buy a house, blah, 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 the Australian dream. And that was ripped away from me. And so I had a bit of an identity crisis at that moment. And at that time, I was actually an atheist. And I'm going to talk a bit more about that later. But I came to a point in my life where I had an identity crisis, especially as an Australian man. Working on the land, like I left school at year nine. I grew up in that laborer environment, and my way of providing for this family was just ripped away.
And
And
that was normal for you. So working hard was the way we were raised, right? So it's, yeah, that's pretty cool.
yeah. So I turned to the world of online marketing, and I had nothing but time on my hands. So I threw myself into learning a new skill, how to build websites, do Facebook ads, social media, and all of that. So 2010 to 2012, that's pretty much my journey. And then we moved to Tasmania around that time. My wife, on top of all this, it's happening. We're newly married. My wife was her full-time carer for her mum for 3 years while she was going through her cancer journey, and she just lost her mum. And so we had an opportunity to, reset our lives, and so Sarah lost her mum. So she's gone through her grief journey. I've been diagnosed with a disability on a disability pension through chronic pain syndrome. So we left North New South Wales and we moved to Tasmania. And at this time we've got Lachlan, who's 4 months old, and Harrison, who's two. And so we tried to escape a lot of our pain and challenges that we were facing at that time. And we tried to reset our lives, but we ultimately just end up taking all our baggage with us. And 12 months into living in Tasmania, I tried to kill myself. I got to a very dark place in into this whole space. I felt hopeless. I thought the world would be better off without me. I thought Sarah and the kids were better off without me. I was just nothing but a useless lump.
Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing, Jeff, because that's a big step, basically down, being down right in that point of life. And I love what you said that, moving was the kind of escape, because I was doing moving all my life and I was thinking that I will escape the feelings that I have, right? And it's natural, people always try to change environment, but when you realize that such a massive step of moving from New South Wales to Tasmania with all family, and didn't help, right? So that has had to be really hard, and I'm really grateful that you are open to share that as well as part of your.
Well, that's why I think it's part of the story, right? The story's not mine to keep. And so not to stay stuck in this dark part of the story and the drama of the story. To keep moving forward, right? Because there is hope at the end of the story, and I feel like if we have a story that can be someone else's hope, light, love, joy, peace, we are selfish to keep our stories to ourselves. I really feel it's an injustice. And our stories are not for us to keep; they're for us to share with the world. And that's why I do share, and I get into the real raw origin story of it all, the vulnerability of it all, because that's my story. Could be just one story that's helping out your audience or anybody else listening out there, and just speaks directly to their heart. Anyway, so we moved to Tasmania. We got to this point. I hit this crisis moment, and as I was about to kill myself, I had planned it all out. And by the way, if I really want to put this disclaimer in, if you're feeling this way, please reach out and talk to someone, because that's what I did. But I almost didn't. And the only thing that stopped me in my tracks from actually being the final thing, being the selfish thing, was my son walked in at 2 o'clock in the morning, looked at me with his big bowdy eyes and said, "Dada, what are you doing?" Now, this is a kid that never used to wake up in the morning. He's a sound sleeper. And so love interrupted the pattern. Love pierced through. And I remember this very clear as day. This is the milestone moment, the transformational moment. His love pierced through. I fell to my knees. I just embraced my 2-year-old son at the time. And I just said, "I love you. I love you. I love you." Till 2 o'clock, till 6 o'clock in the morning. And Sarah came in and saw me just a sobbing mess with Harrison on my shoulder, just asleep because he was exhausted. And so that morning, I decided to do something about it, and I decided I needed to talk to someone. So I reached out to a friend at the time who was my business coach at the time. And I said, "I just need to talk." And at this stage, she had no idea, because I was putting on this persona. I was trying to fake it till I make it sort of type attitude. And I think a lot of people who are suffering, that's what they do, right? They don't want the world to know. They can't see the shame, the guilt, and denial doesn't allow it to happen. So anyway, I dripped down the veil and I just opened up and I just went, blah. And so my friend Celine at the time, she said, "Right, you've got to meet my mate Tim." And Tim is the pastor of our church that we go to now for the last 11 years. And so this is at this time, I was an atheist and didn't have any sort of spiritual background or any beliefs or anything like that. I was brought up in an atheistic family, and your idea is of you keep up with the Joneses, you work hard, you die, that's it. And so I was realized at that time that thinking, that foundation, was setting me up for failure. I was putting everything up, the expectations on my own shoulders, but setting myself up for, putting everything on a pedestal, but living up to these unexpected, these expectations that just nobody could meet.
Yeah. And usually that's the prompt, right? It's the pressure of society, pressure that we feel and we create, that we think that we are the ones that need to do all the work, and we are
Yeah,
providers,
it's
we
all on
are the one
me.
responsible. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's a big weight. It's big burden.
Yeah, it is. And it's, I know that a lot of people are going through that, family members I can think of included.
So many people, yeah, and so
And
many people find out late. At least, like you had that realization very early, but the people, they find out in their 60s, right? Like
yeah, well, they don't find out at all and they do
they
something silly. They do something final. And, not to diminish any of that sort of stuff, there are a lot of hurting people. The world is a well, I really feel like the world's starving for connection and starving for love. I definitely was.
But it's true. It's true. It was true 10 years ago. It's true now, right? It's
Yeah, even more so.
we need connections. We need to feel love, and we need to give love.
We need to feel valued.
Yeah.
So valued helps us to feel like we're contributing to the greater good, which helps us to feel ultimately loved, right? Anyway, so Tim saw me at that space. He saw the brokenness. He saw the pain I was going through. He didn't see the mess. He didn't see the victim that I was portraying. He didn't see the hurt that I was causing. Because I'll freely admit, like, I was not a very pleasant person to be around. I was hangry, I was hurting, and I'm not proud of the fact I was actually abusive to my wife verbally. Screaming and shouting. And I tried to push everybody away from me. I tried, I Tim refer we joke about it now, but I was referred to as a demoniac. So it's the best way I description I could give it to you, right? I was not a safe person to be around because I was so hurting. I was so angry with the world. But Tim saw past all that. He saw the heart and he saw who I could be. And he just started to mentor me. And a week into this conversation, I said, "Look, man, I have no idea who this Jesus fella is, but you know what? I'm open to exploring what it looks like." So he started that whole process of discipleship with me. And then I started to lean into this space. And I realized that the core root of Jesus, the Bible, God, faith, is to really to learn how to love ourselves, to learn how to love God. And we love God by learning how to love ourselves. And then that in return, we get to love each other. And that was the missing core component of what I was doing, right? And what I was seeking for. I was starving for connection. I was starving for love. And I found that in Christ, in a relationship with Christ. And so I started to lean into that. I was baptized really early on in my faith journey, about 6, 8 weeks. 3 months after that journey, I went on a mission trip to India and just saw amazing expressions of God's love being played out in community on the ground floor. And I think what I look at India, where it's 0.0001% of the population in northern India identify as Christian. So I look at it as a space that is probably very much representative of first century Christianity, and
I
that
see.
ground level, it's actionable, it's tangible, and so that helped me to cement my roots in my faith. And then I did a 2-year internship with the church. And fast forward to today, 10 years on the journey, Sarah and I decided to start an online church 12 months ago. And
Yeah.
really with the heart to, our mission with that is, it's called Today's Discipleship Community. And the heart of that community is to help to transform the one through Jesus' love, just like it did for me, just like it's done for Sarah, just like it's done for nearly everybody throughout history. If you really look at the core roots of faith, that is the foundations of it all. Everything else, religious side of things, is just how we practice that and how we express that.
And I love what you said because I think that's very important, right? So the foundation of change, I believe what you said, and please correct me if I didn't understand it correctly, but there is the faith, is the belief in something, right? There is a belief that we have hope, and I know it can for some people be vague language or something, but it's the hope that we feel or faith we have that is actually keeping us, feeling like we can anticipate something greater is going to happen, right? Like we believe that something there is for us. So it's almost like we believe there is a place for us in the world, and we are an important part of that, right? So I feel like faith and hope, like all those energies, when we call it emotion, right? Emotion and energy is so important in life because that actually makes us do things, right? Makes us or keep us driving forward or keeps us motivated and inspired because we believe in something that can happen or can be.
Yeah,
And
well,
you know,
the cornerstone of Christian faith, right, is to believe in Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for us and he rose to dead, rose to go to dead so we could go to heaven. That is the cornerstone. That's faith in a sense, right? So to believe that someone died for our sins and was raised again to go to, to be, so we could follow him and have, be reconciled with God. That is the cornerstone of it, right? So if that's the cornerstone of it, and then, so that's the essentially the great commission is to eventually love yourself, love God, and love others. And the great commandment in the Bible, the other cornerstone of it is essentially is to believe in Jesus who he says he is. Go around baptizing people in Jesus' name and teaching them to how to follow their commands. Essentially that's the command, is go and love God, love yourself, and love others. Full stop. Everything else is around that. And I truly believe that faith is the cornerstone here for whatever your beliefs are, right? Whatever your interpretation, your expression of faith, the cornerstone of it all is to be love. If that, and we've got something to do, in that space, because if we don't, when we, for us, for the people who identify as Christian, if we get baptized, why don't at that point in the very time in the moment in the baptism, don't we just go to heaven? Because we've got work to do. And the work to do is to be ambassadors of love, to help others to find that light, to help others to find that joy, to help others to find that peace, love. If you look at the passage in the Bible, I can never remember where they are, but the phrase here is essentially talks about the fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit are mercy, are grace, are kindness, are joy. What are they all describing? They're all describing characteristics of love.
Yeah, and I love that because that's like for perspective of science now, when I'm just laying down
I love
the
science.
layer of science, and when you look at Hawkins, I think was the his work about map of consciousness and measuring the emotions and frequency, and he's talking about when we are in fear, when we are in anger, where we are, how we resonate, what is the frequency, right? It's below 150 hertz. And when we actually feel love and we give love and we receive love and we are in gratitude, like our frequency changes, our life changes. So there's still scientific expression of that, right? Like why we should be in
Course there
faith and
is.
love and gratitude. And I love that. And I love what you said as well for everyone who is a little bit of resistance or feel resistance because maybe they don't believe in God. But there is a the common kind of I would say probably the topic, I will call it topic of faith that we are talking about, but is really important because I think when you look at all different religious, like I love to read religious books, and for me favorite was Bhagavad Gita because it talks basically about the same thing as Bible, like they're all the similar,
They're
but
all parallels.
and they are basically like how they see that good and bad, like what had to die, like you said, Jesus had to die for your sins, and this is basically that something in you has to die because it's the dark side of us. We have the light side and dark side, so it's very different way how it's explained and how the culture was and the religion was kind of holding on these stories, and I love it because there's always something to learn from the stories, and it
If
doesn't
you're
matter.
open and receptive, right? You've got to be open and receptive. So if you reflect just on the story that I just shared with my origin story, that essentially that's what's happened. I died to self. I let go of my pride and my ego and, the arrogance and all of that sort of stuff. So I died to my way, my expectations. I died to that self, which was just keeping me in darkness. And I submitted my will to something bigger. And that really at the core root of it all, take the word God out and replace that with love. I submitted my will to being an ambassador of love, not for my benefit, but for the world's benefit.
Yeah, and I love when you describe, like you were a not pleasant person, and like let's be honest, we are all, at a stage of life sometimes somewhere where we are very much not happy, and we are not very pleasant people to be around, and we need to work on ourselves. And I think the great thing is that you decided to, put work on yourself and for your family, for kids,
Oh,
like
yeah.
for love. So I love that how that shifted your life. But I would love to know because afterwards, like I know that the big story and very big internal change also brought probably massive change in your environment, right? So what do you do now, Jeff? How do you bring this beautiful, feel or concept of love into your business and into everything what you do?
Great question. Before I dive into that, what you just explained is how I express, we've got to get our internal flywheel right, our internal world right, our emotions, our
I agree.
physical, our spiritual,
Absolutely.
our health, all of our internal elements right. So our external world, it's like the
Oh, that's
flywheel,
like,
the gear in the middle is turning the big one. And so it's reflective of that. And that was being, if you look back at my life 10 years ago, my internal world was so out of balance. So everything else was out of balance. So now, look, I wear many hats. One of my most proudest hat that I wear is I'm a good father to my three boys. They're the core of everything that I do. I'm a good husband to my wife, and I spend time being a good leader for the family and teaching my boys to be good leaders. I want to be known as a hero maker, not the hero, in everything that I do. When Jeff Ross is no longer here on planet Earth, the thing on my headstone that, the legacy impact essentially says one word or two words: hero maker. And
And
that is the core of everything that I do.
I think there was something that stood up. I think it was on Electric Leadership Week. I believe that was Paul Dunn or someone says that, it's what is important is to not leave the legacy, but is to live the legacy every day or live it.
Yes.
And
Yes.
I love that because that's exactly. We don't know how long we are here on this planet, but what is important is what impact we made on people and how they change maybe their life or how they improve their life or how they live, because of
Right.
love and our compassion or something
Yeah.
that we can give.
And conversations just like this leave a legacy. They leave, so we can either leave a positive legacy or a negative legacy. Every interaction has an opportunity to leave an impact. Legacy just means impact. And so every conversation that I don't always get this right. I'm human. I'm far from perfect.
We are all.
But I attempt to be more than not to leave a seed of hope, light, and joy and love in people's lives, to leave a little kernel, a seed. And so, I'm an online pastor. My wife and I started an online church 12 months ago. I'm also a coach and a mentor in the network and affiliate marketing space. I teach people attraction marketing. I teach people social selling. I've been in the, since I've been in the online space since 2010, I've just worn about every hat you can think of: the website guy, the Facebook ads guy, the funnel guy, the e-commerce guy, the print on demand guy, the tech guy, the nerd guy, the marketing guy. I've just been a student on communication marketing. And, I've invested quite heavily in this space to up level to be where I am today. And now I'm known as one of Australia's top thought leaders in the AI social selling space. And so I have my own coaching business, which is called the Laptop Lifestyle Dads Academy. And it started off just teaching dads, but it's also spilled out now through referral marketing to women, to grandparents, to everything in between. So it's, we refer to our community as the Laptop Lifestyle Legends.
Nice.
My mission for that is to take frustrated affiliate network marketers to transform them into laptop lifestyle legends, teaching them how to make their first $10,000 a month online so they can become the fun vacation parent, fueled by dad jokes, of course, so they can focus on making memories with their family.
Fun
That's it.
vacation legends. I love that. So that's very attractive. That's what I'm always thinking. Like when I'm working too hard, I'm like, okay, so let's scrape it down because we are actually not living the life we want. And we inclined to go back kind of I guess the emotion of, we are hard workers and the only hard work is the way to succeed and only hard work and a lot of work and a lot of hours is the way.
That's
So
the way we're conformed to believe things, yes.
And it was definitely coming, from family or my origin story when I will talk about my grandparents and parents, like it's always that side is it was hardworking. So I guess for people they really want to have a little bit more lifestyle life, like good lifestyle life. What is maybe what you will suggest? where the AI, social media, marketing, where is that going? Because for me, I can see it from one perspective, but I don't want to share it because that's only my perspective. But from you as an experienced guide and mentor and coach in this space, so what do you think? What is now really working? What doesn't? And how we can show up a better way?
Yeah, great question. Gary V talks about this a lot if you follow him. He talks about live commerce, influencer marketing. And I really see that this is the future of where we're heading in this space. It's actually already happening in countries like China. You know, there was an influencer there. Now, this influencer's got millions of followers and they've got a pretty big, following and community around. This influencer did in 12 hours $1.7 billion in sales, selling lipstick and handbags. So I reckon as far as marketing and advertising is going, and big companies are starting to see this, where I believe the future of marketing is in micro influencers, is in nano influencers. Influencers have only got like maybe 500 to 1,000 followers. To maybe 100,000 tops, right? So, because here's the thing, right? Everybody has a voice. Everybody has influence, whether they realize it or not. Leadership is influence, nothing
Every day.
more, nothing less.
Yeah.
And what that means is because we're always referring restaurants, our movies, and recommending this, recommending that. Well, companies and marketing are starting to wanting to leverage these recommendations. And this is essentially the term affiliate marketing. So this is why I've stepped into this space to be able to educate, mums and dads especially, to go out there and create a personal brand, to create a community around them, to be a person of influence. Because all sales and marketing is putting the right product in front of the right people at the right time.
Yeah.
So, but there's some strategy to that, of course. There's some business funnels that you can use, of course, and all that sort of thing. You don't want to be just pitching, 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 and spamming, spamming, spamming all the time. And that's what most of us do when we get into this space. We're new to this space because we don't know any different. We're passionate, and we've got some raw skill there, some raw passion. So we go and talk about it, and everybody needs to buy my stuff. If you do that, you're just going to get lost in the crowd.
Yeah,
You're
and
going to
it's
get lost
too
in
much,
the
and
noise.
it's too dumb. Yeah.
Social media is becoming a very, very, very noisy place.
Yeah, I definitely can't keep up because it's just too much, and too many things I think repeats. So there is everyone doing the same thing.
Everybody's just a carbon copy of somebody.
Yeah, and it
It's
becomes boring.
regurgitating. So
So.
here's my framework to help you to rise above this. And this is something that I'm really, really like coming off the back of the Los Angeles Tribune Leadership Week that we had last week, being a part of the LA Tribune community. One thing I've noticed that like Joseph McClendon and Jim Quick and Dan Kennedy and some of the greats that we've had
Yeah.
influence on our lives is they've all got like a signature sort of framework or a signature talk. So I've been playing around with mine and I'm just going to share that quickly here with yours, if that's all right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. So it's called the voice framework. So if you wanted to, create a personal brand that rises above the noise, that separates you out from the crowd and build a community that has a trust and influence with you, this voice framework is going to serve you. So V stands for values. You've got to get clear on what you stand for and what you stand against.
Yes.
Your vision, your mission, this is the core stuff that a personal brand is actually around about. So V for values, like my top core values are ultimate ownership. It's the seat of everything that I do. Transparency,
Yeah.
being raw, real, vulnerable. What you see is what you get. And you got to have fun. You know,
Yeah.
they're the three values that you can see with everything that I do are echoed through everything. So V's for values. O is for origin story. We started this whole podcast interview
Yeah,
off with our origin story, right? So, what is your origin story? What did where, what I call, what is your Sucksville to Awesome Town story? At the end of the day, we're all selling one thing, and that's transformation.
yeah.
How do you take someone from a before state to an after state? That's your origin story. I is for influence. When you can lead with your values, your mission, your vision and your mission, and your origin story, you'll start to build influence. If you really break down the word influence, what is it? It's trust. It's integrity.
Yeah.
It's all core elements and qualities of
It's
leadership.
leaving people with feeling, right? How they feel
Yes.
about you. That's
Yeah.
it. Yeah.
Yeah. So build your influence. That's I. And there's a deep dive in that, of course, but I for influence. And then C is clarity. Don't be clever with your messaging, be clear with your messaging. Be simple.
One.
Create clarity because a confused mind will never take any action. But you give someone clarity and you give them a sense of direction and purpose, look out, they're going for the world. And then E is expression. There are enough people out there trying to fake it till they make it. Don't be that. Be you. The world needs you. God created you to be who you are, warts and all, own it. Be raw, be real, be vulnerable, be authentic, and bring out your expression to the world. This is why I'm known as the caffeinated kangaroo. There's only one caffeinated kangaroo in the world. This is why I use words like boom sauce instead of I'm just excited. Awesome town, Sucksville. This is why I use these words, right? Because this is how I express, wait for it, my personality.
Nice one.
That is what you want to be doing. Express your true, authentic personality to the world because the world needs your voice.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I love your framework. I will definitely go back and I will just write everything that I heard. But what is really important, I think that is the E of your framework. You had a big journey towards being that person that can express yourself, right? 10 years ago or 15 years ago, you probably wouldn't be expressing yourself the
Oh,
same
no way.
way.
No,
And
not at
I
all.
think, and I love that because everything what we talk about, even if we talk about marketing, it's still about our internal transformation. And I love what you say because people who are not yet there internally, like if they didn't do the work, and I always said, just do a little bit. You don't need to do massive work. Just be aware. Be aware who you are. Don't
All
try to
starts with
fit in.
awareness.
And don't try to fit in, right? The moment you try to fit in, it was me as well. 10 years ago when I was first time on camera, I was trying to play cool, and it's like I'm the smart one. I was trying to play all the doubts, self-doubts, and thinking about myself that I'm not smart enough, I'm not good enough, but I need to look like I am. And it was so ingenuine, and it was hard.
You know what the key word here comes to mind? Just be of service. When you serve, you find your true passion. And don't serve for the sake of your gain. Like really get out of your own way and just be of service. Like how can you lead with service? I really feel once you find that, that's where you find your true expression.
I love that. And it's also that is another one always comes, and definitely that's what you do. Just take yourself lightly, right? So people are taking themselves too seriously and they're too scared and too waiting for being perfect, going out on social media. And it's all about just being you and just show up how you are, who you are. And I know it's really hard for some people. They, maybe going through some struggle and maybe some
Let's just quickly unpack that. Why is it hard for people though? Because I really feel it's only hard for people if they're only worried about one thing, judgment.
what people think about me. Yep, absolutely.
Judgment. So when you can just get, when you can be not attached to other people's opinions and essentially marry the process and divorce the outcome, this is where I got free. This is how I became free and just stepped into my greatness.
Love
Because I just detached what other people thought about me. I just couldn't give two hoots anymore what you
it.
thought about me. And so I'm not attached to judgment anymore.
That is such a beautiful thing to say because I think this was the most important part. When you don't take away anything from the podcast today, this is such a gold because everything what is stopping you or who is stopping you to do anything, it's like yourself, and yourself means exactly the judgment of others, right? So
Yeah,
that's a
and we're our own worst critic too. We judge ourselves all the time. Stop judging yourself too. Dr. Joseph McClendon looks at it, said, when you look at your mirror and you look in the mirror, truly look in the mirror and smile and say, I love you. But do you really truly mean it?
I think
Like,
that's
get rid
one.
of all the stories that are going up in your head that are holding you back and stop judging yourself too.
And it's same thing with speaking. What happened to me with speaking? I was terrified. I was terrified to speak on stage. I was shaking. I was frozen a million times on stage, but I still did it. And one time when I realized that actually I stopped caring what other people think, and I said, you know what? If I'm here just to put it to one person that is listening right now, that's enough. If that one person can take something from it, that's all.
And you see what you just unpacked in that story there, right? When you're nervous and you're all up in your head, it was all a performance.
About me? It
Yeah,
was
it was all
all
about it was all
about
performance. It was all a
exactly.
performance. But when you got out of your head and you got into service, you released that judgment, and it was just about who can I serve?
Yeah.
And that's where I really believe is the core root of everybody's greatness, is just get out of your head, get out of performance, and just stop
Yeah.
making it about you, stop judging yourself, stop worrying about judgment for others, and just get into true service and serve from that heart.
Yeah. So drop into your heart. That's the most important part. Thank you
Yeah.
so much, Jeff. So before I let you go, because I will be curious. So what's next for you? What is the vision? Where are you going? I will be curious to see.
Just more impact, more purpose, more lives to change, play a bigger, better game. And so I've stepped into working pretty closely with Michael Silvers from Los Angeles Tribune there, from service. And so we're doing some pretty big things there and just serving some, pretty awesome people. But it's all about how can I partner with the right people to have a global impact and to have a legacy type impact? That's what it's about, really.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you so much for all gold and wisdom that you share with us. And thank you so much for sharing your story. It's absolutely beautiful to have someone here, who is open, vulnerable, and speak about everything with open heart. I really, really, truly love that. And congratulations on all your success and all your creation in the world. I'm really excited to see what's next for you? What is going to happen in the world? I'm definitely watching you, and I will meet you on other meetings as well.
Of
But
course.
yeah, good luck with everything. Thank you so much, Jeff. Thank you
No,
for.
well, thank you very much for the opportunity, but I'd also want to give credit where credit's due. It is all glory to God. I'm just an ambassador, and I appreciate you for this opportunity to come onto your podcast and share this wisdom and this experience. I hope someone takes a golden kernel of nugget of hope here today and go and run with it. Go turn that into a big mighty oak tree as well, and be a hero maker, not just a hero.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. And for everyone who is listening, please subscribe, like, or give us feedback, send us questions or topics you would like to hear in our podcast. And I'm looking forward to seeing you next time.